Good evening, everyone. Could we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the June 21st version of the Village Board meeting. Thank you for attending. Okay. We'll call the meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter. Here. Trustee Dart is excused. Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis is excused. Is there any changes to tonight's agenda? Would anyone from the audience like to see a change in tonight's agenda? None? We will keep. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
I'll make the motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Trustee Genrich. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. Update on the stadium tax survey. Administrator Lane.
We are up to 645 online and 15 hard copies that have been turned in. So the survey goes until the end of this month, at which time we'll compile all of the data and look at hosting a public information meeting so that people know exactly how it all came out. And hopefully we'll be able to make a decision on which direction we see going with the funds. So we're in no rush.
That's great, though. 645 plus 17?
15.
Cool. Any heavy leaning you want to share with us, or is it too soon?
Too soon.
Okay.
Raises for the village administrator. Okay. Item B. Alloway Bellin Health Farmers Market. Update. There's no update except to say, get ready, here it comes.
Right. We'll begin July 7th. We are completely full. Thing does include daily spots as well. The only thing we're looking for is additional volunteers for EBT components of the market. We do have July completely covered, but we are looking for August and September volunteers.
And what do those volunteers need to do?
They pretty much go through a 20-minute training and we kind of release them. But all they really do is they take a credit card and swipe it and then take those EBT funds and they translate to the tokens that they can use at the market.
Okay, great. So we're sold out of booth space, and that's how many vendors?
It's about a little over 50 stalls. There's 38 vendors, 4 daily spots. So.
Very cool. Okay. Yes.
Heritage Hill is Civil War reenactment weekend this weekend. If you've never been, it's a very good time, and it's awesome to take the kids. I mean, they have hands-on activity for the children, and with the new fort, if you haven't seen the new fort that they've done, it's absolutely fantastic. So I just encourage you to go if you can.
I have another announcement. The DO, I was at a meeting today with the DOT and the folks who live in the Braeburn Estates up Riverside Drive and the fence and all that. And I just want to give a compliment to the DOT. They did an excellent job, Andy Fulcer and Company. And they brought a designer with them to talk about the options for the fencing, options for the sidewalk. I think the residents really enjoyed it. They were heard, and Andy came back and gave them exactly what they were looking for. So as public employees, they don't always get the accolades, but they've really done an excellent job in working with the residents on this. Any other announcements from the board?
Just on the heels of the Bell and Run, another great job that they did, especially the cleanup afterwards, quick and efficient. The streets were open as promised ahead of time, from what I saw. It's a nice job.
Great. And our staff did a great job in helping out during the Bell and Run as well. And we've got that later on the agenda. Okay, any other announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. Is there anyone in our audience this evening who would like to address the board about something that is not on this evening's agenda? Come on up.
You just brought up Heritage Hill. Have you ever thought about a shuttle for the events there? You know, the parking for some of those events are horrible.
Heritage Hill has set up parking at the CP Center and had a shuttle running from that parking lot that I know of, and Deputy Vogel, or D.O. Vogel.
The CP Center has a shuttle. Mm-hmm. You can park there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they work really well. Come right back around, dump you off right at the entrance, and they'll take you right back to your car. I didn't know, do they have any other lots they work with besides CP?
A lot of different events. I know they use that quite a bit.
So maybe we need to get that out more.
I think you do. Did you ever try to go down Green Avenue during an event?
Oh, yeah, but people will park there anyway because they just run across the road. So, which causes us other issues because they play Dodge Car on Webster.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other folks from the audience who want to address something? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. On agenda number 9, the village may be realigning some of its reporting requirements, you know, for the president, trustee Rafter. What I have seen is I would like to see a organizational chart for the committees that accurately reflects the proper way for information to funnel to the board. And what I've seen is that the Plan Commission is in charge of the comprehensive plan, which is the major guiding document for the village with regards to the future. And a lot of the different committees make their own plans, and they don't report officially to the Plan Commission. And I'd like to see all of the committees have a way of communicating with the Plan Commission, whether it's the bike ped with regards to bicycle crossing, pedestrian crossings on Riverside Drive, or whether it's the Parks Committee with trails going in, or whether it's the Economic Development Committee with regards to what they'd like to see on Webster Avenue. So if everything could get funneled to the Plan Commission, then the Plan Commission could make a single report to the board, rather than having lots of different committees trying to be heard by the board. So I think that the Plan Commission had more time to discuss in detail some of the intricacies of sidewalks and economic development, and if it all went to the Plan Commission, they could put that into the comprehensive plan as a report, and then it could come to you as a single document instead of you guys having to read maybe 5 or 6 competing plans. So that's what I'd like to see, is the different committees send their suggestions to the Plan Committee, and then the Plan Committee report to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in our audience who'd like to speak tonight? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to old business agenda item number 5, Mayflower Agreement. Mr. Lang.
If you would like to suspend the rules, Chris Pino from Mayflower is here tonight.
Okay.
Unless you want to have a discussion first or if you'd like to do so. But the reason it was on the agenda is the current amended offer had some time-sensitive dates, and one of them was this past Friday, which required Mayflower to submit the plans early enough so that they can go to the Planning Commission, which is June 29th, or 27th. And since those that deadline came and is now gone, that's why it's on the agenda, because that time-sensitive contingency had not been met. So, but I did invite Chris to join us tonight, and it's up for discussion. We'll leave it at that at this point.
Okay, thanks. If there isn't any opposition from the board, we'll suspend the rules. Mr. Beano, come on up.
Well, we did meet in April, and I agreed to the fact that we would have our plans in by Friday. I hate to give you excuses, but I've been working 70 and 80 hours a week, and I just simply haven't had time to coordinate all of this. And thinking and talking on Thursday to Brad, I proposed that we pushed the closing date back to September. We want to close. We want this property. My problem has been to coordinate all of these final construction plans, and we're open to moving closing, staying with our agreement to close in September, and there is a language in that we can close earlier. We'd like to buy the property, and then when we're ready, we can say, okay, we're ready, bring it to Trevor, say everything's ready, set us up on the calendar, we're ready to go. But what's happened is we've agreed to, because I didn't know how humongous a job it was, to have all these plans in by a certain date, and we've missed those deadlines. So another thing is I was going to come in with another financial plan today, but my business partner's mother went into hospice on Friday and died on Sunday. And so this is the last thing I can talk to him about right now. So I'm going to need about a week to come back to you and say, well, we can close on July such and such. But even tonight, I don't have that, because John's not in the position to make real estate decisions when the funeral is on Friday. And I'm sure everybody's aware that Billy died, and so he's going through that. So what we're proposing is we want to move towards closing. We'd like to buy this property, and we'd like to fulfill all of the requirements for the village as far as building goes after we own the property. Now, that's flipping the whole process on its head, but at least you'd know that the property's been sold and that we're serious and we're moving towards a resolution on that. So that's my proposal. I understand that if you'd like to move on and market this to someone else, that's what we agreed to, that if I didn't make the deadline, then that would be one of your options. And I can't stop that. And if that's what you'd like to do, then I accept that, and we'll move on. But once again, we'd love to be there. It's just taking a little longer than we anticipated. And certain things have happened that have slowed it even more. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Chris?
Yeah.
We'll see board members have any questions for Mr. Beano.
Unless anyone else wants to go first.
Go for it.
Okay. I was just trying to get a better handle on what's been happening throughout the process, because I think you came to us, the original presentation was on December 15th.
Yes.
With an idea of trying to open by the 1st of May.
Yes.
And then when we met in April, we talked about it in terms of the deadlines and explained the deadlines. So what you're saying today is you didn't understand the scale and scope of
I understood it. I just bit off more than I could chew. The West Side just consumed me. I had Sunday, this last Sunday off. I haven't had a day off since about when you saw me. I've been working 12-hour days, 7 days a week since the last time you saw me. So every time I try to get anything done, there was just no time. And I apologize. I sincerely apologize for wasting anyone's time. We want this property and we want to do this project. It's just taking longer than. And now we're getting into the part of the year where I have plenty of time to do other things. In April and May, the business just ate me alive. So.
Okay. I don't know how to ask it well enough, so I'll just come out and ask. If we were to sell you the property and flip things around, where's the push to get it done and not have the property continue to sit?
Because we want the revenue from that property starting as soon as possible. It's going to be a profitable revenue producing business for us. I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't believe that. So it's a perfect location for us. As I've said before, we want to do this. It's just that everything just falls on me, and I haven't had time to work on it. And in April, I shouldn't have agreed to that June deadline. But it was the second time you were giving me another deadline to meet, and I felt that it was best to accept it and hope that the people that I was working with were going to meet the deadlines, and that didn't. But I didn't even have time to ride them. So it all comes back to me. It's my fault. So.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Vino?
Well, just a couple of observations. I can only assume this is your crazy busy time of year. But the other one is our thoughts, you know, certainly with your associate and the loss of his mother and all of that, and I can see where that would certainly throw a wrench into things at this late moment. I guess this is more of a question for Brad or whoever, is there a cost to us of waiting? Or we don't have other offers or people lined up making offers.
The only cost that we've incurred this year would have been a couple millions. We haven't marketed the project or the property either because we were in agreement with Mr. Dino. So whether or not there's any other interest out there, I can't answer that question.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions? I have a question.
Yes.
Look in your crystal ball, and if we were to flip things around, or even if we weren't, when do you think you would have time to work on this project, and when do you think a realistic time frame for breaking ground would be?
I think that this fall is still our I would have to talk to Trevor again about timelines. So if we do get this in by this, then we have to wait a certain amount of time for the state. Isn't that 6 weeks?
Six weeks.
So we'd like to be open for next spring. And so, yes, in the fall, when we'd build in the fall, and if we could get open for Christmas, we would take advantage of that season. One of the reasons we're going in here is to do business all year long, where we can't do that way the heck out where we are right now. People will travel there as a destination for this season. It's hard to get people to come out for Christmas. So that's one of our reasons, because we could be a 12-month-a-year business if we were in the right location. And that's part of the whole business model on this property. Okay. So
when do you feel comfortable that you would be able to meet this first milestone in getting your plans to the Planning Commission?
If you could give me a week, I could give you really exact days. Because I do have to sit down with John and discuss everything, and this is not the week that I can do that, as you could probably understand. Mm-hmm. I can't go to John right now and discuss a real estate deal when he's got a funeral on Friday. It's just, there's a lot going on for that family this week. So I could sit down with him over the weekend and come to you on Monday and say, okay, this is when we can realistically meet this. And once again, we'd be glad to move up closing if that was the case. If you felt comfortable that these guys have bought this property and they're moving forward with this, there's no reason we're not going to buy the property if we don't intend on developing it. But I'm just saying that if that would make the village more comfortable by us stepping up and buying the property and completing that part of the deal, we'll do that. And right now, the paperwork says September, you know, Brad, September 19th, is it?
14th.
14th?
Yep, September 14th.
Okay. So that we're more than willing to agree to stay with that deal and probably close earlier. And then we could build out and be ready for next spring.
If we didn't close earlier, though, Chris, if we just extended the timeline,
yep.
When do you think you would have the plans ready for our planning commission?
Sometime within the next 4 to 6 weeks. Okay. Because I can get involved in that. Once we're through June, once we get to July 1st, I can spend 20 hours a week doing this. And then it'll get done. I've had 0 hours in the last 2 months to work on this. And it, every week it would go by, and I would think, well, I'm probably not going to make this deadline, and I'm going to be standing here on this date talking to you about this, and so that's where we are. And I can't offer you anything else other than to tell you the truth of what I've been through, and we're willing to move to close on the property and present. All the necessary documents that need to be done within a time frame of mid summer, late summer.
Okay.
So,
thank you, sir.
Anyone else? Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. So we have a couple of options. One is we could extend the contract. We could cancel the contract. Or accept a proposal to close now and do this stuff earlier or later on. Do I have a motion on this item?
I would move that we amend the contract to include a new timeline to be determined by Administrator Lang and Crispino. And I have a comment after I get a second.
Okay.
Could we get, as part of your motion, could we have the new timeline established by June 28th, a week from today?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll second the motion.
And once deadlines are established, if those deadlines are not met, there would be no question about all of the escrow money being forfeited?
That's fine.
Yes.
So when you say amended, do you mean just extend the timeline?
And the escrow money is forfeited okay. If the next set of timelines is not met.
Okay.
I agree to that.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion.
A second.
We have a second by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion?
I just have one comment. I would not be at all in favor of flipping the process and closing on the property before the plans are approved. So
the
village has been burned by that before. So where they thought a project was going in and then the property gets sold and something else takes a life of its own that the residents haven't been involved in, the village hasn't been involved in, and it's just been a mess and prior issues. So that's why I would not like to see it flipped because of past experience.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Trustee Harris?
Just along with all the questions or comments that I've made, I do want to see this your business established there. I think it's good business for that spot. I just want to make sure that it does happen. So and I understand the timing of the business and where you've had some difficulties. So that's just please understand that I think as a board we want this, but personally I want to see if we can get this done.
And thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I appreciate it. Thanks.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Now get to work.
I will.
you getting anything done during this planting time?
No, it's been.
We're excited. Okay. Agenda item number six, action regarding contract agreement with assessor. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion?
Mike Diener is here tonight. So if you have any questions of Mike, I appreciate him coming. Didn't have to, but it's my job.
Yes, thanks, Mike.
Sure, you're welcome.
If no one minds, we'll suspend the rules and invite Mr. Diener up. Mike, would you like to come on up?
I really represent my company, which is Fair Market Assessment. We were hired in June of 2010, so we've been here for 6 years, and it's been a pleasure. So I would certainly be very happy if you would extend it for another 3 years. And I think everything's been going good. We have a good relationship with the village clerk and the administrative board, so I think it's been working real well. Our office is 5 minutes away in Village Bellevue, so it's working real well for us.
Are you going to move your business to Helen?
I own a building there. So I know there's this
you
lot.
You can own a building here.
There's this lot that, no. So thank you very much.
It's where the old Village Hall was.
No, I'm not that big. No, I'm a little.
Has anything else changed in the agreement besides the price?
Not really. Basically, it is we're responsible for all assessment procedure and practices and taking care of state and whatever else comes along and helping out the village board with debt issues and stuff like that. So really, really the verbiage is almost identical. Maybe a little bit that I changed to comply with statutes as they change for our commitments to the filing with the state, but really nothing.
Okay. Any questions for Mike?
I don't know if Dennis needed to review the contract or did review the contract.
He has not because it was so identical other than, as Mr. Dieter alluded to, it's the state statute.
Okay.
To follow.
Perfect. Thank you.
And I'll just mention, Dennis and I follow each other around, kind of. We're both in Galloway, we're in Ashwaubenon, and we're in Howard. And basically, we're looking at the same kind of a contract, the money and the name of the community.
Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate the staff recommendation here to proceed. Makes it a lot easier for us to sort it out. So.
Yeah, and you're comfortable with all the wording in the contract. Okay. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Diener.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Board. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For the great work. Agenda item number 7, action regarding listing contract for Old Village Hall site. Do I have a motion on this item?
It's moved to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? The agreement's coming up. It's due, or it's ending June 30th. I think the current contract is, I mean, he's working on it. He's giving us what we're paying for. And we're doing a lot of work right now to get that property ready to go and understand what's going on. Our agent is also involved in all of this going on, right? So if the staff is happy with the work he's doing, I'm happy with the work he's doing, and I'm good with that. Any other discussion? Okay, so we're extending it to the end of the year. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Agenda item number 8, Public Works minutes dated June 15th, 2016. We should probably put those on file.
We can.
Okay. First, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes as submitted and put them on file.
Second.
Trustee Green.
Move to place on file.
Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item 8A, preliminary approval of street reconstruction plan. Why don't we invite Mr. Burnt up? We haven't heard from him for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, it says preliminary approval. Really, this is not really the forum tonight to approve the plan, but since we have this meeting coming up in July, I thought it'd be a good idea to do an overview of this so that as a board, you had a look at it, you've got input to it, we can discuss it at one of the next meetings as well. At some point later on this year, then you would have to approve moving forward with the next project. So this is basically to continue this process of making sure that we're all on the same page and address any questions, and you're prepared to address questions from residents on the plan that we are putting forward, not only for this next project, but over the next 5 to 10 years. And what I'd like to do is I'll just talk a little bit about what's in the handout, and then we'll just very quickly run through the draft of the presentation, because that kind of gives you the overview of the whole thing.
Streets are going to look like that.
Waterfront.
Sign me up.
Let's see here. Hold it on.
You need to bring in some raspberry.
After the dredging.
It's a river.
In your packet, is the is a copy of the overall long-range plan. Small type, goes out 10 years. If you recall, when we started well over a year ago talking about the future capital expenditures, we took a first shot for last year's budget at putting some streets into a plan because we had finished the five-year plan that we had for the previous 5 years. It takes a lot of work to put a plan like this together. We've been working on this for a good 9 months now. And what it entails is really going through and not only prioritizing the streets and why they're in the order that they are, but it's a cost estimate for construction on each one of the streets as well, so that we have pretty good estimates for the construction cost for the project. So that's why it's taken so long. When we do the capital planning for this next time around, assuming that you support this concept, what we've done is we've shortened up the time frame because we were looking at 15, 16 years to work through the list of projects. We're trying to shorten it down to 10 to 12 years to get to the point where we're 80%, 85% caught up with where we want to be. That's the reason why the capital expenditures have gone up. Anyway, that's where we are right now, and that's what's in this data table. Let's just run through this and kind of see how it fits together. I used some of the information back from 2010 and 2011 when we went through this process and approved going into the five-year plan that we did. This is what we're going to cover in the presentation in July. Why do we need to do this? We'll talk about some reasons why. The overview of what the plan is. And then what's the financial impact of this plan? These are some of the key points. Obviously, we've got streets in poor condition, old water main, and we have sanitary sewer replacements that are needed. And I'll cover a little bit about the cost impact. You know, we've saved a lot of money by doing some of these things. We'll talk a little bit about that. Back in 2009, when we did the Payser survey of the streets, when we started this overall planning, the streets in red, Payser survey is the state-required monitoring program for your city and rural and urban streets, and that's how they're rated, and that's how funding is allocated, and it's how you're supposed to prioritize what you do for street repairs or street replacement. The streets in red are the ones that rate a 3 or less, which really are in that program, immediate replacement streets. So you can see there's quite a few in 2009. Water main, I'm sure all of you have seen the larger map of this in the past when we've talked about it. In red is the cast iron water mains. Now, not all of them are in very poor condition. If this was a larger scale, you'd see the starburst flags on there where we've repaired services and water main breaks. And that's how we prioritize which water mains need to be replaced. But there's quite a few, and you can see there's a lot of cast iron. The cast iron installed in 1925 and in the mid-60s, those are the areas where we have the aging mains that need to be replaced, and that's where we've been focusing on. Sanitary sewer, this is a little more difficult to read, but I think maybe what we'll do is we'll blow this up and take one segment so that you can see that when we did this study back in 2001, 2002, we actually targeted actual segments of the sanitary sewer system that were in very poor condition and needed to be replaced. So that's what we looked at when we started looking at sanitary sewer replacement. Back in 2001, 2002, the entire village was televised and the whole system was analyzed to determine that. This is the reconstruction plan that was proposed in late 2010 and 2011. So this is the plan we've been following. The streets are prioritized. Where you see the colored streets, that is a street that's in the plan, and you can see why. Water, sewer, sanitary sewer. You can see why they're color-coded. And the first phase of the project that we have completed, phase one, was about a $5 million project. These are the streets that we have completed, or the projects we've completed since 2010. Two major reconstruction projects, two major water main projects, and then some additional funding that we were able to get through DNR funding and modifying the project and shifting some money around. So we spent a little over $12 million. And so that's some very significant progress toward our goal, and you can see which streets were done. These are all reconstruction or, in some cases, just water main because we were able to get funding for that. Now, this doesn't show up quite right, so we'll have to work on this a little bit, but this picture is a color-coded picture that will show all the streets that were reconstructed since we started this process. What happened is the background, this is a new map, and the background's a little bit light, so we thought we had it dark enough, we'll have to work on it a little bit more. But this is just to show the progress we've made, and then you can see what remains to be completed to reach our goal. As you recall, recently we have worked on increasing the maintenance budget. By 2018, instead of spending about $200,000 a year for paving and street maintenance, we will actually be at about $500,000 per year. And that's where we need to be to maintain the progress that we're making on the reconstruction projects. So long term, that's where we need to be. And so that will be accomplished, and that's a major step forward for us to maintain our infrastructure in the future. Our goal in the reconstruction overall and the overall plan is to get to at least 80% of our needs met by 2024. We're probably around 35%, 40% right now. So we're not quite halfway to where we want to be, but we want to get to the point where when we do spend money on reconstruction, we're going to be talking about spending $1 million every 2 years, something on that order, rather than the $4 million every 2 years to get to the 80% point. So that's what our goal is. Right after this slide, I will put in the long-term reconstruction plan. So we'll edit this one down so it's a little more readable, and we'll have that slide. We weren't able to make that happen yet. But that will be the next slide. And then this is that will give the view overall of the next 10 to 12 years and what our goal is and when we'll reach that goal. This is what we're talking about for the next two projects. In 2017, those are the streets that are proposed. And that would be ultimately what you would need to go ahead and authorize then we go ahead with that project. 2019 would be another project of similar size. That would be one that you would approve at a later date. Things do change as we go forward. Sometimes things come up that we don't know about. So we want to keep that flexibility in the plan, and it might shift around a little bit. But anyway, those are the two projects that we're talking about in the next 5 years. Here's the impact. With not doing capital projects in 2018 and 2020, that's what the total monthly bill would be for the average water user, 4,500 gallons per month. That's what the total bill would be. Now, that is fire protection charge, stormwater ERU, sanitary water, all of those charges that you have on your bill now, that would be what it would look like. So from today till then, the cost does go up. You know, we typically see about a 2% per year cost increase. Whether that's wages, electricity, or other things, we do see a cost increase each year. This isn't necessarily where you would set your rate. This is what the rate should be. So we can work with that, but this is what the rate should be when we calculate it. Now, if you add the project that's with projects in those 2 years, you can see that we add about $1.20 to the total utility bill for 2018, and we add about $3.40 to the monthly utility bill in 2020. That is the cost of the projects. On the tax levy in 2018, it's $6. In 2020, it's a little under $20. That's the financial impact of the next two projects in the next five-year window.
And the levy is just annual?
That's an annual, yes. So when you look at the size of the project, you would say this is a huge financial impact. When you actually look at the cost and you calculate it out, it does look like a smaller number. It is an impact, no question about it. But it is a smaller number, I think, at least the way I look at it, a smaller number than I would have thought it would be.
Craig, so it'd be an increase on the monthly bill of, let's just look at 2018, increase of a monthly bill of $1.20, so $14.40 for the year, and then $6 on the property tax bill that a resident would receive. So in essence, it'd be $20.40 for a person who has a house valued at $150,000.
$150,000 home value, and they uses the average water consumption, which is 4,500 gallons a month.
That would be the annual cost for a resident.
Yes, that's what it would be.
Thank you.
So this is the summary. We have basically we've done quite a few projects. Obviously, we've made a lot of progress, and we all know that. You just look at some of the streets and the condition we had and where we are today. We've made great strides. There's no question about it. We want to continue the projects. We want to implement the five-year plan. The financial impact of the five-year plan is shown there. That's the recommended path forward. What we will do in the meeting besides the presentation is we'll have the maps. And then we'll do like we did with the Safe Routes to School. We'll open it up for questions, but we'll also have a form to fill out. So the resident, name, address, contact, phone number, or email, and a couple questions, and their opportunity to write their comments and questions or concerns. And I prefer to do it that way because then we get all the information. When we take the verbal, we don't always capture all the information. You have so many people speaking, it's hard to track that. So we'll open it for questions, and I'm sure when we open it for questions, we'll get comments. But we'll ask people to write up the summary. They work very well on the Safe Routes to School. We were able to take all the information, categorize it, and actually go by location and be able to evaluate the information we got, which is part of how we are looking at the design, preserving some of the trees and things we captured in those notes. So that's it in a nutshell.
Any questions for Craig?
We're doing a fair amount of catch-up at this point, right? If you look back a number of years, we really didn't stay ahead of the game or with the game or close behind the game, and now we're trying to make up for it, and rightly so. Doesn't appear to be overly aggressive. Looks like a good plan.
It's a situation that exists. We really have only one way to go, and that's continue to try to catch up. What we're trying to do is balance the debt that you already have with the expenditures that we have and try to match it to where we can try to pay off some debt at the same time that we're incurring debt and try to keep the rates as reasonable as we can. Fortunately, up till recently, with the cost savings that we had with reducing water losses with our leak detection program, reducing the infiltration and inflow, we've been able to offset a lot of the early costs for financing by the cost savings in the operations. But now we're getting to the point where we've got our water losses down and we're consistently managing those down, and we're seeing some reduction in our sewer infiltration and inflow. So now the capital cost has a little bit bigger impact.
And that's why this meeting, the public meeting on July 20th, to walk the public through. So everyone put this on your calendars, July 20th. Where is that going to be?
St. Matthews.
At St. Matthews. And we'll get the word out. We're going to go through this. Go on.
That was a postcard that was mailed to every resident and
yep.
had those dates on there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Would the PACER criteria help you answer questions from somebody like me that says, hey, I live on, let's just say, Rustic Oaks, and you've got me slated for 2021. How come I got to wait so long? Or if I'm on Glen Haven and it's 2024. Is the simple kind of answer that the PACER study shows that your street probably is in bad condition, but these are all that much worse, or a combination thereof?
Those are difficult questions to answer.
Or are you just picking me out? You're not fixing my street.
So people can look at it. We get that question routinely.
I would guess.
You know. What about my street, and then why isn't it on there? So what we do in that scenario is we explain to people how we prioritize,
okay.
and where they fall on the list. And, 90% of the time the people say, I understand what you're doing. Thanks for what you're doing. Please keep me in mind, but I understand why you have to do these before you get to mine. Usually that's what we get. But I will say that sometimes you get a couple comments from people and you say, well, wait a minute, let's go look at that again. And it has resulted in us changing some schedules. It has.
I know St. Mary's got a lot of discussion late winter, early spring because of some of the work that's being done over there, but the final project isn't going to be done for a while. But I thought you all handled that pretty well. And obviously, if money was no object, we could just do them all. Get them all done.
That's the challenge. We're looking at $4 million next year, $4 million in 2019, $4 million 2 years later, $4 million 2 years later. And so I think bringing it to the public on July 20th to say, folks, this is what we've got. We've got roads falling apart, and these are our options. Can we afford it? Can we afford to be as aggressive as we want to be? Do we have to spread it out? And gauge the appetite for those increases that we see, because we'll continue to see those increases in the future years.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anyone in this village would disagree that we have roads that need help. Any other questions for Craig or comments? Okie doke. We don't have any action on that. So we'll move on to 8B, review of Callaway Water Services report. And first I'd like to say nice job, but you're up again.
So I thought I'd just stay standing here.
You might as well.
I'll be very brief on this. And for some reason, it's not loading up like it did before. I'm not sure why. But I'm going to show you the map. And then I'll just make a few comments. You have the report. What we will do, I'll talk about where we're going to go in the future. Now I'll go back to the map. What we will do with this is we'll post it on the website, and we'll do kind of a summary page, and we'll post it on the website so residents can read the report. There's a lot of information in here. So think about all the information that you see in here, and I guess what we're proposing is to provide all that information so it's generally available. The path forward would be, after posting on the website, when we get done with our couple design projects so we have a little more time, then we would draft a letter. We would start to notify residents of these properties. You have a lead service in the street. You don't have a lead service. You may have a lead service on your private property. And we'll offer people the opportunity to have us do a water sample so that they have a lead measurement on their own water. We would do that out of our operating budget. It's a $30 sample as long as we coordinate it. It is useful information to us as well as it is to the resident. We do a monitoring program for lead and copper. We've been doing it since before 2000. It is a program that's required by EPA. First of all, we are in compliance with all of the requirements for lead and copper, and we always have been. So we don't have a health issue that we need to do something to solve a problem that is impacting individuals, you know, right at this time. That's because we treat our water and because we have a limited number of lead services. But down the road, we believe that communities are going to be faced with removing all the lead services. So what we're going to be talking about is the notification, the sampling, and then using, as we go forward in future years, any available funds that we have in our water utility under contracted services, which is water service leak repairs and water main repairs. We usually finish under budget, use the balance of that fund, of that money in that fund, to remove lead services. And then over the course of probably in the range of 5 to 8 years, we'd be able to accomplish removing the remaining 142 lead services that we have in the village. The yellow two areas where we have lead services, right here in the central part of the village, and then you saw right up on the northwest end. Yellow is where the data that we have tells us that there's a lead service within our street right away. And usually that's 2 feet of lead pipe, 4 feet, 6 feet, 8 feet, something like that. It's not the entire service. It's a small section. In some cases, it might extend out to the private property. The purple is properties where we've already removed the lead service in the street. So there's 142 properties that we could identify that we believe have a lead service in the street. There is more than that that we've already removed. We believe there's 7 homes that have a lead service on their private property from the street right away to their house. We believe there's 7. And there's 13 homes that we just are not certain. So those are ones we will contact, but those are ones that we can't tell from the data. We suspect that they are, but we don't know for sure. So we're not dealing with a 1,000, we're dealing with about 150. Trying to think if there's anything else that really comes to mind on this. That's pretty much where we're at. I think it'll take us, if we start this fall, it'll take till next summer to really have the sampling done that people would like to have. The sampling is very specific, has to be done a certain way, or the data is not considered valid. It is hard to get residents to sample. We have to set up 45 homes for our testing that we do. And we have to have 30 samples, so we'll set up 45 or more homes and hopefully get 30. It's very difficult to get to 30 samples. So, you know, I don't know how many we'll get out of this, but if we get 30 or 40, that's probably what we would get out of all of that sampling, just because of the difficulty in collecting and having a resident actually complete that for us and then analyzing it. So it's something we need to deal with. Is it a major health issue? No, it's not. The lead levels are between 1 and 3 micrograms per liter, or between 0 and 3 micrograms per liter. That's basically the detection limit for lead. And if you look at all the data and you look at a home that has a lead service and then you look at one next to it that doesn't, sometimes the home without it is higher than the home with it. So the data is a little bit sporadic. So that just tells you it's quite variable.
Okay.
But that's where we're at.
Well, thanks for putting that together. I know Trustee Green has been very interested in this topic, and it's, as we all have, but taking a proactive approach to doing this is what I like to see. Any other comments or questions for Craig? Okay, thank you, sir. I guess you can stay there, Craig. Wisconsin DOT Highway 172 Guardrail Project Noise Ordinance Variance. The Public Works Committee is asking us to recommend or approve a noise variance for Wisconsin DOT for the Guardrail Project, subject to a letter request and include notice to residents in the DPW to issue a permit when the request is received. So, if I, Trustee Green?
I just have a question. They were meant to have that letter to you for this meeting. They didn't do that?
They did. I do have it here. But remember what we talked about in the meeting, we said we might not have a draft letter to give back to them, but we would require notification of property owners, mm-hmm. what abatement measures they would have, and then the schedule. And they did send me a letter. I responded back and said, we need those things. They gave me a reply back. It's not quite complete. But we would put those requirements in there.
Yeah, and not just the immediate neighbors.
Yeah,
but
we would put those requirements. And they're saying about a three-week period. And so they're saying about a three-week period, and they expect that they might be at one specific spot for maybe a day or a day and a half or 2 days. So we'll progress along. And as a resident, if you're close to the construction, you'd have that noise for a day or two, but then they would be farther away and it would tail off. So we do allow construction, public works construction, as an automatic variance to our noise ordinance. But we wanted some control, so that's why we did this.
And the neighbor notification, is it DOT expense? And they do it?
Yes.
They specify that?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
So the quick history of that project is to install cable guards in the median of 172 from Webster to I-43 to prevent vehicles from crossing over accidentally. So they have to grade that whole median and put, is it a three-strand cable through there? And they can only work at night because of traffic, and that's where the noise issue comes from. So the noise isn't the driving force. It's the project itself to install those cables, which the DOT is ordered to do. And this is kind of part of the fallout. It's going to be noisy at night. But they'll work as they go, as Trustee Green said. So if your house is right on 172, they should be past due by a day or so. So you shouldn't have a whole lot of noise. 10 p.m.
Let's get
6
a motion on the table, and then we can discuss.
Need action?
Is that okay?
Oh, I thought we needed the formal... I thought we needed the letter completed before we'd vote.
Well, in order for us to discuss, we should have a motion on the table.
Trustee Gray.
I would move to approve, as long as it has all the provisions stated in public works meeting that were outlined and negotiated with the DOT representatives that were there.
Okay.
I would second that.
Second by Trustee. Now we can have discussion.
No more comment.
Trustee Harris.
I was just wondering, have they given us the three-week time period where this will take place? I didn't see that listed.
No, we don't actually have that actual window yet. And they won't know that until they bid the job and they develop a schedule with the contractor. But what we do know is that they're planning on a 3 to 4 week window for the project, for the portion in LA.
Would it take place in 2016?
2017.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand that.
June or July in 2017.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to understand.
Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 8D, Reconstruction Project Engineering Services Contract
for 2017. The board is being asked to approve the engineering services contract with McMahon Associates for the 2017 reconstruction project. So I have a motion on this issue. Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? We bid it out, and McMahon, the numbers were McMahon 195, Cedar Corp 213, and Ayers Corp 194. We've had a lot of experience with McMahon, and we know the people that we would be getting on that project. Is that correct, Craig? So it's not only contracting with a firm, but we know the people we'd be getting on the project. They do excellent work. They've done work for us before.
And they know the
village
well.
And they know the village. Oh, so well.
And they will have one of their engineering types on site, not 24/7, but 40 hours per week throughout the project.
Right.
Just a question, and I should have asked this upgrade earlier. In the event we do not fund $4.1 million in the project, because that's what this is based on, is that correct or not?
It really won't affect us in that the timetable will be reduced on the engineering side.
Okay.
So it's not a lump sum contract, it's time and materials not to exceed.
Thank you.
Thanks for that question. Yes.
And there was just another caveat in there, too, that if for some reason we decided not to go with their inspector on site, we have the option to not do that. So.
Any other questions?
Well, I just reiterate, since I'm able to sit on the Public Works Committee, there was great discussion about should we be doing these kinds of things in-house, or should we be contracting with engineering services? And I thought Mr. Barron did an excellent job of explaining why we really don't have the in-house talent that you would have on your payroll on an ongoing basis. This way we pay for it project by project, and maybe it seems a little expensive for each project, but in the long run, you get a better project, and you get better details, and the end results are much more positive. It makes a lot of sense after we kicked it around quite a bit in the Public Works meeting.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 9. Consider amending code 100-09F2. The village president shall be an ex officio member of all commissions, boards, and committees. It was brought to my attention that by definition, an ex officio member actually votes, is a member of every committee, board, and everything, and they are a voting member. And historically, in the village of Alloway, the village president has not been a part of every committee. For example, I sit on the Public Works Committee. And so it was brought to our attention that we have this in our code that the village president is part of all committees. I, for one, am not in favor of any one individual.
Think that's a good
idea. Pardon me? I guess I shouldn't have my opinion. Could I have a motion? But that's the reason. It's been identified as the village president is part of every committee. And the question to the board is, do we want to continue that practice, or do we want to do something else, such as not have him be an ex officio member?
Does anyone remember why it was established in that manner?
Okay. Nope.
And Attorney Duffy weighed in on that and said he does not have any recall of why that.
He gave input. The League of Municipalities gave us input. So I will make a motion. Trustee Green, do you want to make a motion?
I think we're going to have the same motion.
Okay. Trustee Green and I are going to make it. I'll make a motion that we actually strike paragraph 2 or clause 2, whatever that is, from our village ordinance 100-09F under miscellaneous. The village president shall be an ex officio member of all commissions, boards, and committees.
Can we just make the motion to bring back an ordinance to do that?
We can bring back an ordinance to do that.
Thank you.
We're going to bring back an ordinance to get rid of an ordinance?
You have to adopt an ordinance to change the code. This is a code, not an ordinance. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? We're kicking me off every other. It only took 2 months. How about that?
Well, no, it's interesting because it's a practice that I don't know of any president that's ever done it. I don't think anybody else does either. So
I remember a discussion long ago when President Van Gaden said it was regarding the Historic Preservation Committee, and he was going to participate in some of the meetings because he was an ex officio member. But I, for one, don't think that any one individual should have that much leverage over
every
the village.
Committee.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a village board for a reason. So, for that reason, I gladly relinquish that duty. Did we vote? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for kicking me. Item number 10. Amendment to Section 6.12, Keeping Animals, to include permission from adjacent property owners as a requirement to obtain waiver to exceed number of animals allowed. I'll entertain a motion on this. Trustee Green.
I would move to approve. This is just cleanup language for an ordinance.
I have a second. Trustee Harris, any discussion?
And evidently how this came about was with us amending the chicken ordinance that you could have 4 hens, and then it got confusion with the you can have 2 cats and 2 dogs, but still we have an overarching you can only have 4 in a household. My understanding is that's why this is brought back, is just to clean that piece up.
Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
No goats, no pigs.
No goats, no pigs. No more than 4 chickens. I know people who have gotten hens since we passed that ordinance, and they seem very happy.
Go ahead.
Number 11, action regarding approval of facade improvement funding. I have a motion on this before we ask Mr. Fuller to fill us in. Trustee Green.
I move to approve.
And a second.
I'll second.
Trustee Genrich. Any discussion, or does anyone want to hear from Trevor on this? I would.
All right,
so Bell and Health has 3 projects they're looking at doing within the next few months. 2 of them are the building next door, 1920 Level Street. That would include a facade improvement project and then landscaping project. And the landscaping will also include portions that are utilized for the farmers market to include picnic tables and maximize that space a little bit more. And then the third project will the landscaping project up on 2020 South Webster, which is the old Indies building up there. And that would be including some picnic spaces as well, but also the majority of the project will be just enhancing the existing landscaping.
In the building, right? The entranceways are going to be new?
For the one next door, correct.
Oh, that's next door.
Correct.
I thought that was going to be up on Webster.
So with the 2 projects next door, they'll meet the 2 projects per 4-year time period that each property is allowed, so that they will be ineligible to apply for the grant for another 4 years.
Okay. Thank you. It's always nice to see businesses wanting to make their properties look nicer.
Any questions for Trevor? Any other discussion? We have a motion on this. Yes.
Yes. What, I didn't understand. Thank you for explaining the two projects within a four-year time span. That helped because I was starting to understand how they're split. But if they're happening simultaneously, what's the difference between submitting two requests? Let's say you have a project that's $42,000. What's to prevent anyone else who has a project for more than $40,000 for splitting them and submitting them as two separate projects going forward?
I guess that would be up to the board to determine and probably set a precedence of the SOC program being new and the language in the application being the only guidelines we have. It's really up to the board what they want to do, but in my opinion, the landscaping project was one thing, and then the building exterior facade was a separate project.
Okay. Want to make sure that either we're aware of a precedent or taking that into account.
How much is the landscaping portion of that project?
Well, they're all about $21,000. The reason being is they know they're going to exceed that amount, and we won't give them funds. That we'll only give them 50% of the project up to $10,000 anyway. But they're under the gun, not knowing if we would meet on July 5th. And because all the projects are for to be reimbursed for projects not already completed at the time of approval, they just wanted to get their application in for approval. And that makes sense.
So the project that is not the building, but rather the landscaping, that's going to exceed $21,000.
Correct.
When do they expect to conduct these projects?
Between now and September, the early part of September, I believe. But the landscaping project next door, they want to get started before the farmer's market.
And completed before the farmer's market.
Correct. So the farmer's market begins July 7th.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we wait till July 5th and talk to Okay. Any other questions on this? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Is that for all three?
That's up for all three, correct?
Correct. Correct. Before we move on to the next item,
yep,
what would be involved with changing our policy going forward? Because as we added today, this qualifies.
We can put it on the agenda.
Right. In terms of something along the lines of no more than two projects within a four-year period. However, two projects cannot have to have a six-month gap in between them. I don't know if that would be an agenda item for next meeting or something like that to consider.
Sure, we can talk about that. Thank you. Agenda item number 12, report discussion on the Alloway Community Center facility condition assessment report. Mr. Clark.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Let's see if I can get this to work. Mm-hmm. Do tonight for the board is to I have a slideshow of photos of our Alloway Community Center just to go through to show the board, show some of the residents that of the current conditions of what the community center looks like. As you know, we have hired a consultant this year to go into that building and with engineers and look at the facility, look at the structure, look at the HVAC, and determine what its current condition is and give us some ideas on potential costs for renovation and what their professional opinions are with regards to does it make sense for the village to move forward with doing something with that facility to make it more usable to the community, potentially expand the usable space within the community center. Currently, if anyone has been in there, maybe about a third of the overall square footage is usable to the general public at this point, and much of that space is, because it's an aged building and a historical building, much of it is not code compliant necessarily and does not abide by some of the ADA requirements of facilities, of newer facilities. So what I wanted to do tonight, go through a slideshow and then pull up the report and just discuss and see if the board had any questions and determine what the board felt like they may want to do as a path forward. It would, with regards to making decisions and funding and budgets, you know, that would be things we would discuss it during the budget meetings. But, you know, just to find out, and now that we have the report in our hands, if you have any questions. So. This is the exterior of the building, as everyone, you know, well knows. And this is kind of a walk around of the exterior facade of the building. This is a view looking south at the building, the front entryway. This would be the south side of the building where the garages are, and with the actual fire department would be off to the right hand side there. Here's the back of the building, some of the old water tanks. You can see some of the disrepair with regards to the concrete walls. They're starting to deteriorate. Again, here's the corner. This would be the northeast corner of the building. Again, where the one of the water tanks is, walls deteriorating. This is our rear entryway to the public entrance. Public portion of the building, which is a pretty narrow doorway and air conditioning unit that actually is not operational right now. We're in the process of replacing that. But here's a photo of the parking lot and showing signs of age on that as well. At some point, that'll need repair work. In the report, one of the items they talked about was some of the sidewalks around the facility and that they don't meet requirements for width and that. So this is one of those areas. Going into the building, here's the boiler room with the water heater and boiling unit for the building. These are pictures of the rear of the building that is not part of where the public can get to, just showing that the building is made up of a lot of small little rooms and narrow hallways. Some real neat tiles in the building and some real neat historical looks to it. Again, here's some other views of the inside of the building. The shot on the left is actually what is called the access hallway between the two water tanks, and currently that's pretty much boarded up. And then the shot on the right is where the old water, the softener room would be used to be. That window on the right hand side there is actually, if you recall looking at the report in one of the plans, when they built this facility, in between the two restrooms was a light well. So these, you know, it was like a small room that opened to the exterior of the building to allow light and ventilation into the building. So that's one of these windows was from. This is another portion of the building that has, an underground tank, which would need to be filled if any renovations were done to allow for usable space. Now this goes into the main room within the community center that's usable. This photo actually was taken during our senior carts. We have a lot of senior programming that takes place in the building. Same room, it's a long narrow room, same room looking the opposite way. This is the main entryway. As it calls out in the report, this is not code compliant. It would be grandfathered in if no work was done, but this would need to be expanded if work was done in that room.
Even with it being a historical building? Because there are exemptions for historical buildings.
That is correct. There are exemptions. And if you don't do any work, you're grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. But, depending on the extent of work that would be done, if at all, then some exemptions would take place or not. So, here's a look into the kitchen, a small kitchen that is in the facility. This is actually only used, it's not open to the renting public, it's only used by our senior groups. Here's a couple of looks at a hallway and then one of the restrooms in the building. Another hallway and a restroom. And again, on the left-hand side of the lower picture, you can see where there's a window behind the toilet paper dispenser. That's where that light well was. Other restroom with the janitorial closet just outside of that. And then here's an inside view of that exterior back rear entryway. This is a layout of what the current facility looks like. And you can see how there are many small rooms and narrow hallways and small storage rooms and bathrooms. And even the old vault is there, which is currently not accessible. We have it closed off. But it hopes at some time in the future be able to utilize that space as well. So, and then finally, this is just a rendering of some potential looks that the consultant came up with being able to, if we move forward with some renovations on some ideas of how we could open up that whole facility, including new entryways, multiple meeting rooms for various user groups, and then ADA compliant restrooms, potentially, and this would be a question that would need to be discussed with the Historical Society and with regards to the entire structure, but potentially removing one of the reservoirs, which would possibly provide additional parking at that facility, which we would look at more than likely, if that was the use, we would allow that to be ADA, handicap parking close to the building for users. So. But overall, it would open up the community room a little larger, and with some by removing some of the old kitchen and removing some walls and putting in beams, doing some of that type of work to allow more of an open look to the building. So that's that. And then this is a copy of the report, and I believe almost all of the trustees, except for one, received a copy of the report about a month ago or so. I apologize, Justin Gingrich.
It's not a problem.
What I wanted to do is, kind of open it up, see if the board had any questions regarding the report. We could hit some of the highlights, if so needed. Before we're done, we can discuss some of the potential probable costs to renovation, as well as some additional numbers, things like that. So, any questions?
Is there any revenue being generated by the tenants or users or anything at this point?
There is some revenue. I'd have to look that up. I don't have it with me right now. We do rent that out to users for things such as baby showers or meetings, things like that. No large groups, really, because of the lack of space and the way it's kind of set up. There's not that kitchen facility available at this point in time. We do, Monday through Friday, it is used by groups, recreational groups, our senior groups. We have a couple of watercolor painting classes during the daytime there. Senior cards. We have some senior aerobic classes in there as well.
I seem to remember that when we went into the study, the goal was, or the hope was, that we would be able to open up the space significantly so that we could have larger numbers of people for any one event.
True.
And from the one design that I saw, it doesn't seem like that is a realistic goal or a realistic approach.
Not as far as a huge expanse, probably not. That was just one look at it without having an architect, give us many renderings of potential there. There is, that layout could be, maneuvered around to make larger space. Yes. Where it showed maybe that some of those smaller meeting rooms, maybe they're all combined into one large space as well.
So. I was just by looking at that, I thought maybe they thought that wasn't a realistic solution.
It has to do, obviously it has to do with engineering,
right,
and with those load-bearing walls,
yeah,
which they felt that the majority of the walls in there were load-bearing, with needing to, which you can remove those, but then you have to use structural beams, things like that, to open them up.
Is there any assist, because it's a historic property, are there any opportunities for financial assistance?
We believe so. We haven't explored it extensively yet. That was, obviously that's one of the questions that we ask of the board is, do you want to proceed down this road? And if so, then we'll begin exploring that further and finding other revenue sources to, assist us in reaching those budget goals to pay for that.
Would this be a good time to talk about money?
Some ideas on where we can potentially find revenue, yes.
How much?
But, then come our budget meetings, I think that's when we would narrow it down and come up with some more firm numbers.
How much money, just based on, they gave you some estimates, right?
Yes, the numbers that they gave us, we're talking in the realm of $700,000 to $950,000 for renovation. and that's based on $90 to $120 per square foot. But there, you know, are some potential unknowns as well. Mm-hmm. You know, is there asbestos in there that would need to be abated? You know, are there things that are unforeseen? But they were comfortable with that number, you know, $700,000 to $950,000. In comparison, a brand new structure, comparable size, the numbers came in and maybe close to $1.25 million, $1.3 million. Comparison to Pierce Community Center, which is 15,000 square feet, they paid a little over $2 million for that.
And how many square feet is this building?
Right around 8,000.
75, yeah. 76.
Yeah.
And if we weren't going to do a complete renovation of the building, is there a less expensive route that we would look at doing just to update the building and make it more usable?
Yes, there are. They did prioritize for us a listing of updates and things that they felt that we should do no matter what with regards to making sure that the facility, you know, is updated as current as we can be, compliance with codes and ADA accessibility. They gave us a listing, high priority, medium priority, low priority, of some of the things that they felt that we should be looking at, as well as looking at our HVAC, giving us an idea of the age of it, you know, what it is currently, how long we can expect it to last, and, you know, when we should be looking at replacing it if we don't do any renovations. So.
Trustee Harris.
Maybe as an idea or a starting point for a course of action is we look at coming up with the tiers, because it was very helpful to see the high, medium, and low priority mm-hmm. items.
Sure.
Start with the, you know, the high priority, those are the ones. If you want the building to keep standing, here are the things we need to do type
exactly.
approach.
Exactly.
We try to get a cost estimate for those items, maybe also then another tier for at least the medium, so we can see what kind of bites we can take off the elephant for improving the even just the current usage.
Sure.
As well as investigate grant opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think if we take that approach now, being the very, you know, the second half of June, that'll at least over the next 2-3 months before budget time give us a better handle on what we may be able to spend for 2017.
Sure. And we don't have to look at this project being done in 2017 either.
Okay.
You know, this could be a 5-year project.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, that's something to think about as mm-hmm. well.
Good idea. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you. Other thoughts?
Just one. What's the current demand on that building? I mean, do we have people knocking on the door to get in there?
No, we don't.
Okay.
It's like I said, Monday through Friday, it's used 8 a.m. till, you know, 3 p.m. almost daily by some of our groups, senior groups, and recreational groups. We do maybe 2 to 3 Saturdays a month. It gets rented out for wedding or baby showers, those type of things, or birthday parties. Not as high use as Green Eye Pavilion, definitely not. But I think because of the layout and the size of it, that, you know, kind of, I don't want to say scares people off, but it's really not that very difficult to use that space for anything other than a small gathering.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, well, I think it's the consensus of the board. Keep going.
Okay.
And I liked Trustee Harris's idea to let us know what you feel is terribly important from a safety perspective and that sort of thing.
Okay. Would the board like to do a field trip sometime if you haven't had a chance to, you know, see the facility, especially the non, you know, the rear of the facility, which isn't open to the public. I know it was open during when Trevor was up there.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
With the Historical Society. And but, you know, if the board so wishes, we could set up a field trip sometime before we make any decisions, so that you can actually hands-on see and feel, you know, what it looks like.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone who hasn't to do that. It's interesting building. Very interesting building.
Maybe if we haven't been over there, we could work with you one-on-one for something like that.
Then, yes. Yes, you could. We could just have personal tours.
Call your personal tour director. There is one. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 13, discussion on the Bellin Run. We've been doing the Bellin Run for a long, long time. 40 years? 40 years. And it's a great thing to see go throughout the village. This year, I think for the most part, it was, once again, a great event. It was, they had a huge turnout, largest turnout, I think, ever, in terms of runners. But, and then there were some hiccups, as with an event like that, we will have hiccups. And some of the hiccups this year were regarding, Bellin sent out flyers to the residents in the area, and Trustee Green has some. At, we have them all, but I think they tried to do a real good job at letting people know if you live in a certain area, where you can park to get out, and all of that. The weather seemed to have maybe thrown a wrench into that, and when it was warm, an example was people in certain areas were told to park on Beaupré so that they could get out. Well, Beaupré happened to be an alternate route in case it got too hot, and they had to shorten the race. So they were telling people to park on an alternate route, and then they wanted to put up signs saying no parking. So I just, that was one issue.
Well, and the fact that nobody in the village knew this was an alternate route.
Yeah.
The board didn't. The residents on Beaupré certainly haven't. It's never happened before. And yet, if you look at this map, and please understand, I live in this area, so I walked into the middle of this that day. There was a wedding on that street with a lot of out-of-town guests coming, and it was the rehearsal dinner night, and the family was going to be parking on the street. There were several other events going. And this street's very used to rearranging their schedule based on the race, and all these individuals had done that. But never in the whole time, I've been there almost 20 years, some of the residents have been there over 40, never, ever, ever has there been no parking on that street, nor has anybody ever been aware about it being some alternate route. So the confusion, the anxiety, and the rearranging of plans that have caused the people on that street was very unfair, especially after this was already mailed to them and told to them to park there. And nor did Bellin send anybody to even talk to them. So I just, communication is the issue. I don't think it's a race, it's the issue. It's the communication is still a large problem. So.
Yeah, we've been working to improve that, and I think we made some strides, mm-hmm. But not enough. I would also like to commend Jim Segelski and the team for doing a tremendous job from our streets department, keeping up. We had a storm the night before, right? Trees down, branches down, and the streets were clean for the race. Our officer in the back, Jason Vogel, was there bright and early, working hard, and the village staff did a great job in preparing for it. And now I think we have an opportunity, and I think mm-hmm. Trustee Green would agree, we have an opportunity to improve things even more. And I was talking to Brad about what kind of an agreement we have in place with Bellin, and it seems as though we really don't have anything. We kind of just talk about it every year and then go about our business. So this is an opportunity for our staff to sit down with Bellin real early in the process, identify some issues, identify who does what. We were asked at the end of the race, Jim Sigalski got a call from the race director telling him he had four people to clean up cups throughout the race, and could we go and do the street sweeper? Well, we don't do that for private events. I guess we could if we wanted to charge for that, and we knew ahead of it, knew about that ahead of time, but I was a little surprised to hear there were only a crew of four for a cleanup crew. So I think it's an opportunity to sit down with Bell and identify the things that caused our residents concern, consternation, and pain. We had a resident last year come before us saying, you know, I can't get out of my house. So we worked with Bell to make sure that people could get out of their house. So I don't think we can cover everything, but we can sure try.
However, what's interesting is that resident lives on this end of Beaufree Street in the gray zone. Would have parked on this end of Beaufree Street where he was told to park to get out. It just, the whole thing was,
so we need some polish for that.
Then I strike my comment at the beginning of the meeting. Seriously, I was not even aware of that.
And
that is a hiccup. That is a big hiccup.
It's huge. You know, and this was the first year I have seen people get to the point of frustration where I've actually heard it come out of multiple people's mouths about, we've done this for 40 years, and now they're, the point of frustration that it got to this year was beyond what I've seen. A lot of the people came to me because I happen to live there. So then poor Jim gets wrapped in with me and Jim Sigalski on how to handle this whole thing. But Jim, both Jims did a fantastic job of protecting our residents. And I mean, can you imagine having a big wedding and the whole family's coming from out of town and this is what you've planned after rehearsal dinner and then you're told all of a sudden nobody can park there and nobody's had any notice whatsoever? The domino effect of that whole thing was... we need some polish. And that was just one incident. I mean, there were more of things planned where this community already plans around the race, but then these other things get thrown in. So, yeah, it just...
Well, they would seem to be approachable. They put together this concert for some of the neighbors, or invited all the neighbors in such an area there the week before or whatever. So I think Linda Maxwell is the race director. We could make some contacts with her and share these concerns. I never heard they had an alternate route either in 40 years of running this thing.
Exactly.
And what do they have an alternate route for?
I call it the double secret alternate route. And it really doesn't even shorten when you look at
it. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't shorten it besides one little leg here and one little leg there. I mean.
Oh, I thought they would have started and only gone as far as Beaufree and then back up.
See, nobody even knows what this alternate route is.
2 mile run.
Yeah. That's what they were thinking about doing. I heard
the heat.
Yeah.
So it just...
Trustee Harris would have liked that, right? We were represented.
Well, roughly about 5/6 of the race is in the Village of Alloway. Yeah. Maybe half mile each end, otherwise.
It is. You know, and people have some valid concerns about they can rearrange for the race just fine and have for years, but they've got to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that one just kind of put it over the top, at least for the complaints I got from around here this year. So
I think one of the questions to ask is, when was the alternate route idea established? Did they establish it at the very beginning of June once they started to see the forecast? Or has this been in place for multiple years? That's one of the other things we could try to get a better understanding of and, again, make sure communicate.
I would be shocked when I heard about it. I was surprised that they hadn't thought about it in all these years of running races.
Yeah, you had Sean Ryan involved with this event and his history with the CELCOM, marathon, half marathon, 5K.
You don't think it's going to happen.
Right. So I think we need more knowledge, and then we definitely need more communication.
So do we have a consensus of Brett? Would you like to say something?
Yeah, I want to just reiterate that they're very open to suggestions, and they've done a really nice job. And I think we're going to, every year, going to find something that we're going to have to tweak.
Mm-hmm.
It was unfortunate because being here 21 years, I've never heard of an alternate route. And I've never sat in on any of their planning meetings either. DEO officer usually does. I know Jason did this year. I don't know if Jason has any comments that he might be able to share.
He did speak of it in the first meeting I went to. It kind of sounded like it's been in place for a while in case of a major event day we live in nowadays.
Yep.
Something happens on Webster at Alloway or something. I got to divert people. It sounded like it was in place. Obviously, this is my first time going to those committee meetings. It sounded like it's been in place for a while. And the plan of action and cutting the race in half or something like that.
But I think things like this would certainly help. And obviously, I don't think you can have an alternate route to a parking zone. It's interesting. But as far as their communication, changing from the little postcard that looked like an invitation to participate in the run to something that was much more substantial that gave individuals an idea when they can get on Webster or whatever other street that they needed to get on, were great strides. And I think we can continue to improve it, putting together an agreement, listing what the expectations are from both sides, listing our expectations of them and their expectations of us. And if there are some specialties that they're asking for, I think we need to really consider the fact that we may need to charge for some of this. It is a big event that draws thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too fast, so I never run. it's something that I think we need to be proud of, that they have chosen to go through the community. But again, on the other hand, they need to respect the residents itself.
And you're right.
Well, just, I mean, I think one of the frustrating things about, you're right, it's a fantastic event. They've done a great job in managing what they can as it comes up. But I think one of the things in terms of communication when you look at it are the two different maps that were provided. One has a shaded area of Beaupré being closed. The other one has no reference of Beaupré.
It doesn't say it's closed. Down the right-hand side, it says if you're in the gray area, park on Beaupré Street. Park in the yellow and park in the blue.
But over here, it says the yellow zone roads will be closed from 7:45 to 9:20. So
right.
It's really conflicting information. This
it
was
is.
Sent to the residents on that street.
Oh, yeah, because this is mine.
But this, there's no reference of that at all.
Correct. So. But what it doesn't say on there is that it's an alternate route, or it could be closed down for the whole race in... Yeah, I don't mean to be passionate about this, but I walked into mess that day, and it just, I felt bad for the people. I just do.
Yeah. If there's no objection, I'm going to suspend the rules. We have a resident who would like to talk. Everyone okay with that?
Come on up, Jim.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I observe the race all the time. My brain a little too fast for those guys. Small town from the Chicago area that's virtually identical in size to Alloway, and we would have a 4th of July parade. And this is the closest thing that we have to a 4th of July parade. I did start walking the route, and I ended up walking through a lot of different neighborhoods I normally don't walk through. And basically, we get a fantastic parade, which would have been similar to something from the Heritage Hill days when they had the parades, and it doesn't cost us very much. There were some communication hiccups, but as I went through the different neighborhoods and the different bandstands and seeing the people with the sprinklers on the lawn, and it was just an amazing community event. That really, for not much of a cost to the village, did a tremendous, presented us as a tremendous, welcoming, friendly, fun place. place to be. So the different neighborhoods that I saw, especially with the different bandstands, the polka guys and the 70s rock guys, and all of them, it was like a 3 mile long 4th of July parade, and I thought it was really good. So on the flip side of the bad communications, it really did turn out well for the neighborhoods.
Thanks. Any other discussion on that? So is it a consensus of the board that staff continue to work with Bellin to improve communication and to better identify responsibilities?
Yes, and there may be services we do want to contract to them. And I don't want anybody to think I'm against runs. That's not it. But this was all I have to say. The street for the people in the gray zones trying to move their cars. And you're right. It does say it's closed, and then it tells them to park them in the yellow and in the blue.
How do you feel about that, Trustee Green?
Oh, I was trying to be quiet tonight. That just didn't happen. But I wish every one of my patients would run these. And it does a great service to getting people to train and doing that. And everything I'm all about professionally and personally is health and wellness. But the costs are an issue, because if we have to sweep afterwards, that should be, we don't do that for any other private event. So, and then I'm not sure what other issues are out there, because one resident brought up too that our fire department wound up being out there helping them clean up this time. So, you know, they wanted to know costs on that one too. So I think there's some other things we could identify and a lot of opportunities. But Jim, you brought up a good thing about people coming into Alloway. I talked to one lady today who said, oh, I ran the Bellin in Green Bay. Really, you ran most of it in Alloway, right by my house. And she's like, I did? I thought that was all Green Bay. So maybe from a marketing standpoint, for people actually knowing where they are, we may want to have a big welcome to Alloway sign as they come through. Because that
Trustee
is
Harris
good about our you know, highlighting our neighborhoods and those things. Because I think some people don't know when they're coming into Alloway versus Green Bay. So.
And I think that holds true with the sign by Bellin. Making corporate sponsorships, but the village is not listed at all. So it's a valid point. I think we need to. And you know, we pushed to get the farmers market signs mm-hmm. up, because we figured we had 14,000 people run by. It would be a good opportunity to advertise for it. So.
Okie doke. You got what you need? Thank you, Trustee Green, for bringing that up. Do I have a motion to adjourn, Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dean. Hold on, guys. Yes.
He didn't introduce our officer in the room tonight. Officer boot camp, correct. First aid in Alloway. So I just wanted to introduce Officer Rucamp.
Oh, welcome, Officer Rucamp. Would you like to come up and give us your life history?
Resident of Alloway.
Thank you. Welcome.
And what shift are you going to be on?
I'll be starting the 2 to 10.
Okay.
So I'll be afternoons.
Awesome.
Very good. Welcome. We have a motion and a second.
Who was the second? I'm sorry.
Trustee Genrich. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone.